It's great to be back with you all again. It's been a few weeks, but I'm continuing the theme that you've been working through, your vision statement here, the generous hearts. So I'm not sure what the Lord is saying to me. I've been trying to work it out. I come all the way over from East Ham to share with you on generous hearts. So is the Lord saying that he recognises my generous heart, or is he saying that actually I need to do a bit more? I pray that it'd probably be the former, but I think we can all give a little bit more, right? So I'm glad the privilege of speaking on generosity, and I'm just going to keep it very simple because I'm a simple man, basically. There are many in this room that are a lot more gifted teachers. Pastor Gianluca, for example, much more gifted teachers. So I'm going to stick to what I know, the gospel. That's all I know, but isn't that enough?
Yeah, amen.
Isn't that enough? Just hearing the gospel. So with generosity, I just looked up what generosity means. It means showing a readiness to give more of something than is strictly necessary or expected. And I think coming from that place of generosity, we have to understand where we're coming from. Is we're challenged to give generously, but why? Well, we can look at the author and perfecter of our faith. How much more did Jesus give? He came into this world and he taught many good things. And the teachings that he gave were life-changing. Many of them were life-changing. You know, there are many people who do not actually believe in Jesus, that they follow the teachings of the Bible and the truths of the Bible and actually become very successful. So Jesus, just through his teachings, was very generous. But then he would go so much further. He would literally lay down his life for us to know our Father in heaven. You see, Jesus is the only teacher throughout all of time that has fully followed through with his teachings. When he said that he would lay himself down, he actually went and did it. What a generous God we follow, a generous God we serve. And I think it's out of that place where we can recognize generosity that would encourage us to be generous, because I'll come on to a bit later in a moment when we were singing that song, I give myself away, I give myself away. Well, Jesus actually did truly give himself away. And as Christians, as believers in Christ and followers of Jesus, he has set that standard. So are we following him? Are we following him in what he has set before us? I'm going to read a story of a man called Zacchaeus, found in Luke 19, chapter 19, from verses 1 to 10. I understand that Zacchaeus is very popular at the moment. I believe you shared earlier, is that right, Gianluca, on Zacchaeus? I shared a couple of weeks ago on Zacchaeus, so he's a very popular guy at the moment.
We can hear it again, don't worry.
But we can, you know, we can draw so much out of these just few verses, these 10 verses on this guy. And we can keep drawing different things out of this story. So Luke 19 and verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he gladly came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Praise the Lord. So Zacchaeus was, as we see here, a tax collector. He was considered the worst of the worst in these times. He was a Jewish man, a Jew, who was collecting taxes off his own people, off of other Jews. And he was giving all that he collected to the Romans, who were the oppressors. He was literally seen to be stealing from his own people and giving to those who were causing them all the problems. And it seems that Zacchaeus in this was actually more dishonest than that. It seems that he would have been stealing stuff off the top. So not only was he stealing from his own people, he would have been stealing more, taking more than he should have done. Zacchaeus had earned his wealth by dishonest means, according to his people. He had collected a vast sum of money. He was very wealthy. He was rich. He had a lot of wealthy, but I can imagine he had been using that money. It just wasn't sat in a corner. I can imagine that he would have been going out, buying nice things and having that nice appearance, buying the things that he wanted. But even though he had things physically that he wanted, he was hated by everyone. He was hated by those who he should have been in community with and fellowship with and enjoying the highs and the lows of life with. But instead he was despised by those who he should have been close to. And I wonder if he had been questioning himself up until this point. Because we know that the Holy Spirit, he prepares our hearts. And I wonder if the Spirit had been speaking to Zacchaeus in this moment. Maybe he had heard about this Jesus who had been going around teaching these wonderful things. And I wonder whether he had begun to question his lifestyle. I wonder if there had been a whisper of the words that Jesus finally spoke to him. "I have come to seek and to save that which is lost." Did Zacchaeus recognize his brokenness? Did he realize his need for something else? Even though he was rich and lived well physically, there was still something missing in his life. And I suppose this is where this they're going to just land it there for a moment. I suppose this is where we can bring it back to generosity. Because there's such a blessing in being able to sow and to give into other people. When you walk past someone and just are able to buy someone a coffee or just give yourself in some way, there's something that happens in that. And because Zacchaeus was not part of a community and he was despised by everyone, he never even had the option to do that because people would have rejected him and pushed him away. So with this in mind, we see a guy who is broken. And then this guy that he had been hearing about walks into town. Jesus entered into Jericho. And as he did this, the crowds of people, everyone must have heard of the wonderful teachings that Jesus was giving. "You've got to come and see this guy. He speaks with such authority. He speaks like no one else has. We have to go and see him." So crowds of people would have turned out. And I believe that with the crowds of people that had turned out, I believe that they showed further contempt for Zacchaeus in this moment. Because as the crowds gathered and in the desperation, Zacchaeus wanted to break through. He was small physically. He didn't have the strength to push through the crowd. So the people there would have just pushed him out, just kept him back, pushed him back. Go away. Anyway, I better hold myself right there. I've got a microphone in my hand. You little man, go away. And he must have felt in that moment the hatred. Because if you're in a crowd and you can see someone's really desperate to break through, you make a way, right? You say, go on. But they would have pushed him back. But his desire for something else was so strong that Zacchaeus had to find a way through. And the only way that he could find a way through the crowd was over the crowd. The only option he had was to climb a tree just to try and see this Jesus. And as Jesus looked up at him, he said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So the first place Zacchaeus met with his Saviour was halfway up a tree. And isn't it funny how God can meet with us in the most ridiculous of places? I don't know how many people here. Really, the Lord really is, maybe I'm being a bit more open, but the Lord really speaks to me when I'm in the shower. You know, in their moments, or sometimes even when I'm on the toilet. You know, sometimes when I'm trying to fall asleep. You know, their moments when you're just lying, just going to sleep. And the Lord begins to speak to you. And I believe that it's because he wants to see what I will do what he's speaking to me in. Am I then going to carry what has been spoken, or am I going to forget about it? But how he can meet with us in the most ridiculous of places. The reason why I'm going along these lines is because I want to ask the question, where did you encounter him for the first time? Where did your eyes first lock onto Jesus? When did you first encounter him? And how was your heart when you met with him? Was there a brokenness in your heart? Was there a desperation? Was there a yearning in your heart? And in that moment, Jesus just met with you. I met with Christ on the floor of a rehab, on my knees. A ridiculous place. At that time, a ridiculous man. A broken man. Extremely lost and extremely broken. I was 28 years old, yet emotionally, I still was a 16-year-old. And then Jesus walked into my life. And I pray that I've grown up a bit since then. But I imagine that's how Zacchaeus must have felt too. When Jesus looked up at him and saw him there. Out of all the others in the crowd, I know he was up a tree, but out of all the others that was in the crowd, Jesus looked over at him and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And I don't know if you can relate to that sense of relief that Zacchaeus must have felt in that moment. Jesus had just called him by name. Out of all the other people, he had called him by name. Jesus had seen through all the stuff, all the dishonesty, all the hurt, all the labels which had been spoken towards Zacchaeus. And he called out to him, he said, "Zacchaeus, I'm calling you by name because I see you. And for some here, I want to remind you that Jesus has called you by name. And he's saying, I love you. I see you. Out of all the others, I see you. And I want you to know me. And I love how the Bible says things so matter-of-factly sometimes. Because it says in verse 6, so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. I think there was a bit more than gladness there. I think there was excitement. I think there was joy. I think there was just something. I don't even think he just climbed down very gently out of that tree. I believe he must have jumped and just come running down as Jesus spoke to him. And this was his response. This was Zacchaeus' response to Jesus looking at him. The first thing that Zacchaeus did when he jumped down from that tree and ran to Jesus was he welcomed him. He opened up his home and let him in. When we know and understand what Jesus has done for us, there's really only one response. When we understand the fact of what Jesus done on the cross of Calvary, when he took upon our sin, when he took upon himself our death, a death which was rightfully ours, when he took upon himself the depression, the sicknesses, he took that upon himself, and he gave us life and freedom and joy. And it starts by us opening our home, which is our hearts, so that Jesus can come in. That he can come in and dine with us in them secret places. Because when we recognize the generosity of what God has done for us, then our only response can be one of generosity towards him. And out of that overflow, that works itself on to others. The laying down of ourselves so that we may live for him and then for others. God showed us in Christ that he came for others and not himself. He transforms our minds, our lives, and gives us a new heart. Instead of one that is hard, instead of a heart which is self-serving, he gives us one that is soft. Unpliable in his hand. He gives us a heart which is loving and kind. He gives us a heart of generosity. Generosity is a response from being forgiven. When we see what Christ has done for us and continues to do for us, he withheld nothing. So why should we withhold things from him? I remember when I first come to Christ, before I come to him, a few nights before, I believe it was, and I walked out of the classroom in Teen Challenge. I couldn't stand what they were teaching. It's funny, isn't it? I couldn't stand what they were teaching. They were teaching the Bible. And I ran out of the classroom. And I remember walking up and down this games room, their games room that they had, and just remember walking up and down, not being best pleased. And I can remember just this, it was a spirit just, you know, prompting me, pricking me, doing what he does upon my heart. And I can remember almost shaking my fist, gritting my teeth, and saying, God, if I do this, I'm going to give you everything. Like I was threatening God. Like I threatened him to change his mind about what was happening. But I was actually, I would later find out, funny enough, that's what he wants. So I was playing into his hands. You You see, in this encounter, we see the change in Zacchaeus from this dishonest, prideful, self-serving man to a man who has been forgiven. A man who is now humble and will open the doors of his house. A generous man who would give away all that he has built up, as we read in the verses that follow. Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount. Generosity is a response from being forgiven. Guys, we've been forgiven of so much. What is our response to being forgiven of the sin that is in our hearts, for the resentment and bitterness that we have carried? God has forgiven us, and it was given freely. It came at a great cost, yes, but it was given freely. And that's the same for us. Sometimes forgiveness can come at a great cost, but we must do it freely. Being generous, sometimes it can come at a great cost. Whether that's financially, whether that's time, whether it's just yourself serving, it can be costly to us. But we must do it freely, because it's a response out of which what Christ has done for us. Jesus is our example in all things. And I have to admit, when I hear this song, I do love this worship song that we were singing. And it's beautiful. And every time I hear it, it just takes me to a place of reflection, because I wrestle with it in myself. I wrestle with the words, and I think, God, am I just singing these words, or do I actually mean what is being sung? Because I don't believe that we should just be singing worship songs and just singing words up into the air. There has to be a heart response when we're singing these things, right? Because we worship in spirit and in truth. And if we're just maybe worshiping in the spirit, but we're not worshipping in truth, then we're not truly worshipping the Lord. Amen. There's something else going on there. And I wrestle with myself, because it says this in this, I give myself away. I give myself away. Am I? Am I really giving myself away so that you can use me? Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. Really? Am I? Are you? I give myself away. I give myself away. And I believe what the Lord is showing us through these words is his generous heart. Just continually giving. Just continually pouring himself out. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. It's a song of servanthood. I could continue on that song and just maybe just read it out a bit more, but I think you understand what the wrestle is with that worship song. Because it requires us to search and look within ourselves and think, actually, am I giving as much to God as what I declare? Am I truly honouring the Lord in all that I am and all that I do? So as I come into to land this where it should be landed, I'm just going to draw three things out of what we see in a response that Zacchaeus has to Jesus calling him by name. He was willing to let go of all he held, Everything that he held dear, he was willing to let go. All that gave him purpose, all that gave him meaning or stature, in order that he could receive it all from the Saviour. You see, Zacchaeus recognised that he was finding purpose, he was finding fulfilment in all of these things that he had accumulated and built up. But when he met with Jesus, he recognised, actually, that's where I find myself. I can now use everything that I've built up for the purposes of serving others. I can use my intellect, because he must have been quite a clever guy, right? A tax collector, good with numbers, I would assume. He can use that to build others up. Yeah. And that truly is that verse right there, that bit of this. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them into your hands. He was willing to let go of all he held dear. How can the gifts that God has placed within you, how can you best use them to serve others? How can you be generous with your gifts that God has placed within you? How can, if you recognize, I don't know, is there anyone in construction here that you can use your skills that you've built up over the years to sow into others? I know we've got musicians here. How are you using your giftings in order to sow into the lives of others so that you can raise up the next generation of musicians? You know, how are we using the gifts within us to serve others? Are we being generous with the gift that God has given us, or are we being a bit of a stingy man and holding on to that? Because being generous can come in many forms and ways. And I believe that is one of the strongest and best ways that we can be generous is with the talents that we have been given. And in that, he understood, Zacchaeus understood these words that Apostle Paul would later say, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Are we willing to crucify the flesh, our flesh, daily, so that we may give God and the others around us all that we have, not holding anything back? And I believe also one of the best ways that we can be generous is with our time. Time is one of the... Doesn't it seem to be just going by so quick, time? It seems to be so precious in this generation, time. It just goes by. But time is one of the best ways that you can be generous with to others. Just sit down with someone, spend time with someone. Zacchaeus, his focus was now on others. Again, he became generous with his time, serving those who were in need. Serving those who were less fortunate than him. Like Zacchaeus, are we willing to open our homes to others? If we see members, other friends in the congregation, if we know someone's going through something that's difficult, are we willing to say, just come round to mine? Come round to my house for a cup of tea, and we can speak things through. Are we willing to open up our homes? Which is one of the biggest things, isn't it? When someone opens their home up to you. Are we willing to open up our lives to others? Are we willing to be transparent with others? Because that's generosity. It's allowing someone to see you clearly, that you can give your experiences to others. And in that, when we sit down, when we open our homes, when we open our hearts, when we open our lives, what we're actually able to do is we're actually able to hear other people. Being generous with our ears. Sometimes we can allow the mouth to do all the business. Zacchaeus, a third point being drawn out of this, he was generous with his finances. Instead of holding on to all he had and all he could, Zacchaeus saw the value and the blessing in giving to others. Remembering the words of Jesus, the Lord himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." What a wonderful truth this is. Recently, there's an evangelistic thing that's taken off across the UK and actually globally. It's called the King's Army. And the Lord spoke to me through this in the beginning of the year, and when the training was just coming up, we've just had seven people go through the training from Barking and East Ham. The Lord spoke to me and said, and basically said, I'm not saying this to bring glory on myself. It's nothing like that. But he spoke to me and he said, you need to sow into people to go onto this course. So I gave the finances for these people to go through this training. And honestly, I went along to the training in the evenings. And it was beautiful, just, you know, I sat at the back, just watching these guys just grow. And they've grown so in their faith that they're just encountering Jesus, you know. And all three, the three that are from East Ham, well, all of them have just said, I feel transformed. I feel completely different. I know I'm not the same person anymore. And I just, my heart was so full, just sat at the back watching these guys, you know. So in that giving, which was, you know, the financial side, it's nothing in comparison to what I received spiritually. And just watching these guys, you know, it's beautiful. And the best is yet to come, because now what they've received, they're going to be sowing into other people. And they're going to be raising up other people, you know, to reach out for Christ as well. It's beautiful. Beautiful. And this is what it's all about, right? It's about people coming to know Jesus. It's about people knowing Christ and walking with him. Knowing the generosity of God himself and allowing others to flow in that. So yes, sometimes it does cost us, but it's nothing compared to what will be gained. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save the lost." He also says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So generous hearts that are generous, we see that God is a God of transformation, that he brings change, because he impresses upon us his very nature and his very character. And generosity is the very character and nature of God. God's expression of love is to lift others up by service, by sacrifice, by willingness through humility, and empowering those who have lost their strength and their way, and leading them back onto the way. Generosity is a powerful witness in today's world and shows our trust in the abundance that we have in Christ. Isn't this what separates us from the world, that we have an inheritance from the heavenly places? And it's been given and imparted to us in Christ. Sometimes I look around, I'm be honest, I don't see any separation between a Christian and the world. But there should be, because we have been given an inheritance from heaven. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Praise God. This is the generosity of God right here. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So if ever we need to remind our hearts to be generous, let's go back to the most famous of Bible verses. The Bible verse which encapsulates the heart of the gospel message. And in that, as we remind ourselves of John 3:16, let's see how generous God was in giving us his Son. And in giving his Son, he gave us the relationship of restoration. Praise the Lord. Is the nature of God reflected through us? How are we reflecting the nature of God? How are we reflecting generosity? Is it time? Is it finances? Is it serving? Is it the sharing of our talents and our giftings? How are we being generous? How are we reflecting that characteristic of God to others? How are we showing it through our lives? In fact, how are we sharing generosity through Ashingdon? How are we sharing it through the East Gateway Hub? How are we sharing it with the lost, the broken, the Zacchaeuses of this world, who are so desperate they would do anything, including climb up a tree, to come out of the place where they're at? And it is through your generosity, through your giving, that they will meet with the one who can give them everything. Yes, it may cost you something, but what you and what others will gain is truly beautiful. And we will only see the full impact of that when we go to be with our Saviour in the heavenly places. So guys, let's walk with hearts that are generous. It's the very nature of God. Allow Christ to be seen in you and work through you. In Jesus' name. Amen.